The mayor detested the city. It was crowded, confusing, and most of all, he was simply scared to death of it. He thanked the land with every step he took that he was merely the head of a small hamlet where affairs were simple and he knew everyone's name. Here, the multitude of faces he passed blended together into a thick stew, and he nearly tripped over the uneven cobblestones many a time as he tried to make sense of it all. At least this street, with its thin road and narrow buildings, was a little quieter, though he did not like the look those youths in the alleyway were giving him. They appeared hungry and lean, like sharks. Sharks covered in scars and leather. Luckily, the mayor had to cross the street then, and cross it he did. Very quickly. According to the address he'd been given, this was the right building. It leaned slightly downhill, the brown bricks weathered from the sun and rain. This was the establishment containing the Dukov Agency? The best, for its price, hunter in the south of Erin? But, yes, according to the small plaque on the door, the office of this semi-known hunter was here, located on the garden level. Even the mayor, who was not all that familiar with the verbiage and customs of the city, knew that garden level was just a very nice way of saying basement, and was already shivering, thinking about what sorts of molds and mildews could be lurking down there on the damp walls. Yet, descend he must. For the children. Think of the children. If he had to see one more child sprawled out on the forest floor, small, pale face covered in blood, well, he didn't know how he'd react. He took a deep breath and followed the stone steps downward to the door below. Over the aperture was a small sign, which read, in an untidy scrawl, "Hunter of fair folk, curses, werebeasts, etc. Do not work for exposure. Shove off." The small amount of coin in his pocket seemed lighter than it had been before. He hoped it would be enough. Before he could think about it too hard, the mayor reached out and pushed on the door, thrusting his way inward. Inside it was dark and slightly stuffy, with only a few oil lamps here or there to keep the room lit. A few small windows were perched high up on the walls, but these were small and dusty enough to be negligible.
Hello?
The mayor blinked as his eyes adjusted to the darkness. Can I help you? He realized, rather sheepishly, that there had been a woman standing behind the mahogany counter the entire time. Or are you just here to gape like a fish? She was short, but it wasn't that noticeable due to the volume of her hair, which puffed out in orange ringlets around her face, except on the right side where it was pulled back with a metal clip.
I'm here to see the hunter.
That would be me? The woman smiled and nodded. He spluttered, opening his mouth and closing it again several times.
You're the hunter Dukov.
Aye, that's right. Maybe Dukov. Problem with that? She was so young, so well-adjusted. Weren't hunters supposed to be grim, grizzled characters?
No, it's just, I thought you would be.
He couldn't quite get anything out, but as soon as she raised an eyebrow, his tongue unstuck.
Taller.
Well, I can stand on a chair if you'd like.
No, that won't be necessary.
He splayed out his hands as she reached for the stool beside her. She grinned lopsidedly, and as she tilted her head, he noticed that she had a peculiar mark on her cheek, black and squiggly. A tattoo of some kind? It seemed to continue below onto her neck, but he couldn't see because of her high collar. I'm just messing with you, mate. You got a monster problem?
Yes.
He felt so behind in this whole conversation.
I can pay you.
Why don't you pop along with me into the back and we'll discuss it?
Thank you.
She gestured him behind the counter and opened the old oak door into the back room. It was clear that this room was also used for visitors, though it wasn't quite as done up or mysterious. There was a round table in the center, with a simple checkered tablecloth draped over its surface. An old oil lamp hung from the wood beam in the middle of the ceiling, casting amber shadows into the corners of the room. Tea? Muffins? Maybe looked slightly concerned for his well-being. The mayor was an anxious man by default, and now small beads of sweat were forming on his forehead. Here he was, in a small basement, in the presence of someone who hunted things for a living, and now she was asking if he wanted some tea. Taking a deep gulp, the mayor simply managed a small...
Please.
Maybe smiled encouragingly at him as he sat at the table. She whisked through another door in the back, presumably to where the kitchen was.
Oh, I want a muffin too!
The mayor could have sworn he heard a rather squeaky, muffled voice from somewhere in the room, but at this point, he wouldn't have doubted if his ears were playing tricks on him. She came back after a minute, with a cup of tea and two muffins. She set one down in front of the mayor and one off to the side. Was she not going to eat it? Then who was the second muffin for? Was she waiting for someone else, or... He quickly got his answer as something small and red flew out from behind Maybe's ear and landed on the muffin plate. The mayor blinked several times, staring down at the small thing, before he nearly fell backwards in his chair. It was a little person with bright red skin. Small, stubby horns emerged from its hairline, while two wings spread from its back. The creature looked up at him with its pupilless, yellow eyes.
What the fuck are you looking at?
That's a fae.
The mayor felt very lightheaded. The fae were creatures only whispered of in the old tales. They kidnapped people, especially children, to take back to their mounds in the hill, to either entertain or eat, depending on who you asked. You could have just stayed hidden, Tep. It's not like you should be surprised. Most of you don't like to wander out in broad daylight. And didn't we already talk about not scaring the customers?
Blow it out your arse.
The creature, Tep, waved her off. Conversation apparently ended, at least in his book. He turned his attention to his muffin, which was nearly bigger than he was. Opening his minuscule mouth as wide as he could, he bit down into the muffin, chewed on it for a moment, then gagged, spitting most of it out back onto the plate.
Blech! There's nuts in these!
If he was going to be confused about everything else, the mayor clung to the one question he felt he could actually ask without sounding like a total dunce.
What's wrong with nuts?
Here we go.
What's wrong with nuts?
Tep puffed up indignantly.
All I wanted was to take a bite of a delicious, gooey, moist muffin. And what do I get instead? A tough, chewy, crunchy rock that tastes like burnt fucking wood. It ruins the whole experience and my entire day on top of that. So thanks, Nuts, for doing the world a service of being the epitome of everything terrible and bad.
Why don't you just eat around him?
Bemused, the mayor smiled a little. It was almost like talking to a child. Tep looked up at the mayor like he was the dumbest man alive.
I'm 4 inches tall, fuck nuts. Easier said than done when each one's the size of a damn boulder.
Tep, I'm trying to do business. Shut up and eat your muffin or I won't be able to afford anymore. Grumbling, the small pixie thing went back to his noisy chewing, while Maybe turned back to the mayor. I apologize for my, assistant. Now, your problem...
Right.
The mayor had issue turning away from Tep, but managed to pull his eyes away and looked back at Maybe.
My name is Mally O'Connor. I'm the mayor of Banborough. Have you heard of it?
Maybe tilted her head, then nodded. Small little hamlet, about a day from the city... I might have been through there once on my way to another job. Got that really tall clock tower right in the square.
That's the one.
The mayor grinned, not a little proud.
Well, I come to you because lately, many townsfolk have gone missing, especially children. They wander off to the woods to play and, well, in the last few weeks, several of them haven't returned. Next day or so, we find their little bodies, cold as ice at the edge of the trees.
The woods are dangerous. How do you know it ain't some predator snatching them, like a wolf or a bear?
Because me brother Thomas has seen it, a shadow in the woods, right after we found the last body, bigger than any bear you've ever seen.
Sighing, Maybe looked upwards for a moment. How many times had you heard this story? Did you notice anything else about it? Any discerning features?
It vanished beneath the heather before he could see anything clearly. Please, the townsfolk and I, we put together a collection. It's not much, but we're so feared. We're dying, Miss Dukov. Something's hunting us, and I don't know where else to go but hunt her.
How much?
100 jack, Mum.
And you've got transport?
Our carriage is set to take me back tomorrow.
Tep, who had up until this point been occupied with the muffin, looked up at her in horror.
100 jack? That's not enough to buy a week's worth of whiskey! Maybe, are you really gonna...
All right, I'll come out to look. But if it really is a bear, you're on your own, Square. The mayor gulped, looking relieved.
Aye, Square. Very Square. I don't know how I can ever repay you.
You can repay us by giving me the window seat. No way I'm sitting between you cows on two legs.
The mayor stood at Maybe's suggestion. Like everyone, he had quickly learned to ignore the groans of the small imp on the table. He clutched his handkerchief, now covered in sweat from his brow and one or two stray tears from his cheeks.
I'll bring the carriage round in the morning. 9 o'clock?
That'll be just fine. Maybe led him out of the parlor, nodding as he blabbered further about his gratitude. When she returned, she tried her hardest to avoid meeting Tep's gaze.
Sorry, had a spare bit of nut stuck in my throat. Which is exactly what you are. The biggest nut I've ever met. We don't do this out of the kindness of our hearts, you know.
She sat back down at the table, running her finger over the checked patterns on its surface. I'm well aware, but that last job brought us enough to get by for a while, and then those puppy eyes of his were making me wee heartache. Besides, Ida would have killed me if I hadn't agreed to help.
Your sister's even more of a bleeding heart than you are.
Scoffing, Tep crossed his arms over his chest. Maybe offered her hand, and reluctantly he scrambled on top of it, holding tight to her finger as she lifted him up closer to her. I wish she was here right now to talk some sense into you, you blighter!
What if she gets back before you do?
I'll leave her a note. Knowing her, she'll probably catch up. Now let's turn in early, eh? We've got a long couple of days ahead of us. The carriage had been bumping down the unkempt road for nearly 10 hours now, and the mare was feeling a wee bit queasy. He gripped his handkerchief firmly and raised it to his mouth whenever they passed over a large bump or rut. Maybe and Tep, who were sitting across from the mare, seemed less than bothered. The woman stared out the window at the darkened woods beyond, her curly hair bobbing along with the road. In contrast, the imp had been staring at the mare from his perch on Maybe's shoulder for the last 10 minutes. It was making the said official very uncomfortable.
Hey, Maybe, wanna make bets? I say Chubbs here will puke in the next 10 minutes, what about you?
I beg your pardon?
Shaking her head, Maybe flicked Tep off of her shoulder with a gloved hand. He can hear you, you know, and it's not polite to stare. But, I'll say 15. The mayor started laughing suddenly, and Maybe and Tep paused to look over at him.
And just what the flaming ball sacks are you laughing at?
Nothing, it's just hard to believe that you two are hunters at all, let alone the Dukov I keep hearing about. I mean, he's 4 inches small, and you look like you could be crushed by an overweight dog.
Well, Maybe crossed her arms over her chest while Tep flopped back on the seat, cackling hysterically.
Overweight dog.
Well, it's not all about wrong, you know, this hunting business. We don't hunt simple animals.
Wait, what about the time with the possessed donkey?
For the most part, if you'll let me finish. For us, it's more about the cunning and the knowledge. Most of the beasties we deal with are more dangerous than a person, or a wolf, or a bear, and most of them aren't polite enough to knock on the door and announce themselves, so it's our job to figure out what we're dealing with and how to make it go away.
So, what do you think about our monster, then?
The two glanced at each other, hesitating, but Tep nodded and Maybe turned back to the mayor. We haven't been given much yet, but we've got a few ideas.
Such as? Taking the women and children. Do you think it could be the Fae?
Not a chance.
Tep frowned at the word.
You found bodies? Yeah, the Fae don't leave those. Either you turn up alive several months later, or you don't turn up at all.
Putting a hand to his chin, the mayor nodded and thought.
I suppose you'd know.
Would you stop that?
Tep suddenly stood on the seat, the small red glow he emitted growing brighter.
I beg your pardon?
Calling me a Fae. I'm not one, you know.
I apologize, my lad. I had no idea.
It's easy to get mixed up. Tep is what we call an esprit. He's what happens when a fae leaves their realm. So, as you can see, he's a little bitter.
No shit.
Tep sat down again, crossing his arms and legs. Anyway, we know it's not a fae, or an esprit for that matter. As I'm sure you can guess, they're not the most subtle of creatures.
You're not the most subtle of creatures.
Tep, that's not even an insult. Beyond that, there's a couple of things we can cross off the list. Vampires don't usually hunt in the woods, and you don't seem like the type to make enemies, so a curse is doubtful. Beyond that, we won't really know until we examine the bodies, talk to some people. Gulping, the mayor pulled at his collar.
You look at the bodies.
Aye, how else are you supposed to tell what did it if and you don't know what it did?
I suppose. It just feels disrespectful, that's all.
Using one body to prevent more ain't disrespectful. The mayor opened his mouth to say something, but whether it was to agree or argue would never be known. For at that moment, the carriage lurched to a stop, and the mayor nearly had to go for the window. Why have we stopped? Maybe tried to peer out into the darkness beyond the window.
Well, don't look at me. We're not supposed to arrive till the morrow.
Then why?
Tep quickly got his answer as the door burst open. The man looking into the carriage was extremely lumpy, with several large scars and a misshapen nose. His breath certainly wasn't helping the mayor's queasy stomach. The three in the carriage, or rather two, as Tep hid somewhere under Maybe's hair, stared.
Well, what are you waiting for? Get out the carriage.
Confused, Maybe and the mayor crawled out of the box. Their confusion didn't last long. Just in front of the carriage, a large tree had fallen over, blocking the road. However, the perpetrators were quite dim if they'd wanted the travelers to believe it by accident, as the trunk was cut very cleanly. Whatever their intention, the lumpy man and his two friends looked very pleased with themselves.
What's all this, then? A bloke and his daughter going out for a midnight ride?
And just why are you so keen on knowing? From behind her, the mayor could see her slowly pull the glove off of her left hand. She had more tattoos there on her pale flesh. Strange, swirling patterns that almost seemed to pulse. That was probably just a trick of the darkness.
Well, you see, lassie, the boys in our year like to know everyone who comes through these parts. We take a toll, you see.
At least, the mayor had thought it was a trick, until the black tattoos started writhing down her hand and pooling at her fingertips. Gradually, they forced their way off her skin and formed something sharp and pointed. Normally, the mayor would have begun blubbering by now, but he was already too horrified to do much of anything. Meanwhile, Maybe's grip tightened on the thing that now very much resembled a knife. And what happens if we don't have the jack to pay you?
Well, then, we have other ways to extract payment.
The man's eyes glittered evilly. He made a step to approach Maybe, then another. Her arm tensed. Suddenly, with a scream, one of the other men was abruptly yanked to the trees. The lumpy man turned drunkenly on his heel, caught off guard.
Nels?
He turned again, only to see the third man meet the same fate.
Bloody hell.
He drew a dagger from his belt, but before he could do much of anything, a pair of enormous arms emerged from the underbrush and a sword wormed its way in front of his neck.
Don't move.
Clearly, he wasn't a very good listener, because as soon as he heard the voice, he tried to turn, and his throat was abruptly slashed. He gurgled for a second as he attempted to breathe through the blood running through his mouth and down his front, and then collapsed.
You know, just once I'd like to threaten someone who isn't an idiot.
Now that the mayor was paying attention, he noticed that while the voice was deep and quiet, it was decidedly female. Maybe smiled at the trees. Usually the smart ones don't need threatening.
A damn shame.
Regardless, your timing was impeccable as always, Ida. Stepping over the body, a woman emerged from the foliage. The mayor almost panicked, for in the first second he thought, with her pale skin and white hair, she must be a ghost. But she was just a woman, one of the tallest and most intimidating the mayor had ever seen, but a mortal woman nonetheless. You got my note, I take it?
Note? I haven't been home. I was just in the area. Pure coincidence.
Who?
The mayor was still rather wary of her intense gaze. Oh, my apologies, Mr. Mayor, sir! This is my sister, Ida.
Your sister?
Of course! What, you thought the Dukov Agency was just one woman and a housefly?
Excuse you?
Tep suddenly cut in, emerging from where he'd been hidden all along in a leather pouch at Maybe's waist. Ida glared down at the small imp.
What's there to excuse?
Clearly, even Tep was scared of her, for he zipped back into his pouch without another word.
So what are we dealing with here, Maybe?
Not sure yet, but it's probably something hairy. I'll fill you in on the way. Mr. Mayor, do you mind?
If she can help fell this beast, the more the merrier.
He smiled, though internally he groaned about all the space in the already small carriage he was going to lose. Dawn was just stretching tentative tendrils over the horizon when the carriage rolled into the outskirts of Banborough. The first sign of civilization the travelers saw on the rocky road into town were a few cottages sprinkled here and there, some small, rocky fields eked out of the landscape, and the village graveyard, where a small gathering was taking place. Maybe looked particularly interested in the place, and after following her gaze, Tep scoffed.
Roadside graveyard, huh? That's really welcoming.
The founders wanted to give grieving families easy access to the dearly departed.
And which dead man is being grieved today?
Ida didn't seem to notice her own bluntness. The mayor grew squeamish at the harsh tone of her words and stare, but soldiered on.
That's the grave of Finn McLaughlin. He was a soldier stationed up. To the north. Damned crazy bird cultists attacked his regiment. We're finally in peacetime. His poor wife didn't expect him to come home in a box.
Something in Ida's face grew more stone-like at the mention. But the odd tension in the air dissipated as the carriage rolled up to the town square and stopped. The mayor seemed much more confident here. His shoulders dropped an inch with a sigh, and he practically burst from the cabin. Tep climbed back into his little pouch, and the sisters followed behind, maybe flipping a coin up to the driver with a small wink. The mayor seemed very proud of his little town, as he kept glancing back and forth from the square to Maybe and Ida, trying to gauge the reactions. It was a nice square, with an old but well-maintained well in the center, and several stalls that must have been filled on market day. Above them stood a tall, rickety clock tower, and below them the ground was paved with rough cobblestones. "It's very quaint." Maybe felt as if the mayor expected an opinion.
"It is rather quaint, if I do say so myself. The church is there."
He pointed to one of the taller stone buildings in the square.
"Our local doctor, one Mr. Harris, has his office there. And there's Mr. Flanagan's tavern. He makes one of the best meat pies in the entire..."
But before he could finish, the door of said tavern burst open. A slightly sunburned woman in patched clothes locked eyes with the mayor and hurried over to him.
"Mr. Mayor, sir, thank the soil you're back."
"Kiara, you look like you've seen a ghost. What happened?"
The attack, sir. There's been another."
"By the soil."
The mayor put a hand to his already sweaty forehead. Ida took a step forward, and the woman, Kiara, almost squawked at the sight of her.
"Where?" The woods, Mum! Near the old mill!"
"This is perfect! It'll be much easier to examine a fresh corpse. Please, my good woman, take us there, if you'd be so kind!" The woman looked at Maybe for a moment, horrified. Then the mayor cleared his throat and gestured for her to do as she'd been told. Kiara shook her head, but led the sisters off in the direction of the forest, her teeth chattering all the way. "Well, it's certainly a thing what did it." Maybe's hands were firmly on her knees as she near squatted over the corpse. Ida was nearby, examining some of the nearby foliage. She tilted her head slightly, as if listening for something.
"That much is obvious."
Meanwhile, the mayor had no idea how they stood the smell, let alone the sight. He'd been kneeling in the bushes for the last few minutes. Now, he tried to look up, only to nearly have to double over again. The corpse was mangled, almost beyond recognition. If not for the face, which was still relatively intact, he would have been hardly able to tell if it was human at all. Thankfully, despite the features frozen in a final, desperate fear, the mayor could tell that for once, it wasn't one of his.
"He said it was usually chillins and lasses, aye?"
The mayor nodded.
"Oh, that's not good. It's escalating."
"This one's probably a passing hunter, if it's not one of the villagers. Probably got caught out in the middle of the night."
How can you tell?
The mayor tried, and failed, to get a hold of himself.
"That it was a thing, I mean."
"Mere man wouldn't thrash this much."
Ida reached upwards to a spot high in the forest canopy that only she could get to.
"Especially not this high."
"Plus, the body tells a whole story all on its own. The wounds in his chest are too rough to be a weapon. 'Twas either claws or talons."
"Perhaps a werewolf."
The mayor was interested, but still too nauseous to actually look. "Nah, they usually go for the liver. These are centered on his chest, specifically." There was an audible squelching noise as she peeled back some of the shirt, which was congealed to his torso with blood. "Specifically, slightly to the left of center, which, judging by the rib cage, is right where his heart should be."
"It's gone, I take it?"
Ida truly turned to the body for the first time. "Ripped right out."
"It's strange."
Ida was looking at the ground now, kicking aside a few leaves.
"There's so many feathers on the ground. Black ones."
"Feathers? Mr. Mayor, sir, if you'd please, were there any great fighters dead around here recently? A general or a skilled warrior?"
"Well, there was McLaughlin, the man they were mourning back at the graveyard."
Maybe and Ida's eyes both widened as they locked gazes. They nodded to one another, before Maybe faced the mayor once more. "Mr. Mayor, we know what your creature is."
"What?"
He was astonished how sure they were this quickly. Ida looked grim.
"It's a Valriven."
"So, what exactly is a Valriven?"
The mayor glanced over Maybe's shoulder as she read intently from an aging leather book. She'd placed it on the rough wood of the table in the far corner of Flanagan's tavern, attempting to keep away from people, which hadn't really mattered as the place was mostly empty. Maybe took a swig from the glass of whiskey next to her. Tep mirrored her motion from a thimble filled with the same brown liquor, but he was having trouble lifting it. The mayor wondered just how much he'd had. "Here." Maybe pushed the book between them and pointed to a sketch in the corner of the page. It seemed to be of a very large, strong humanoid figure, but covered in a thick coat of feathers. The eyes were far too black and beady to belong to a human, and instead of a mouth, the creature possessed a short, thin beak. It's a raven that has eaten the heart of a warrior and now longs to become human. Your returned soldier was missing his heart, correct?
Do you even need to ask? We did think it strange, but figured it the barbarians doing from up north where he was posted.
Maybe nodded grimly, turning back to the book. A Valraven will continue to consume human hearts and become more and more human itself.
But will it ever, you know, actually do it? Become human?
Who's to say? Maybe shrugged, her gaze oddly long and penetrating. My guess is no, but I've never known one to get that far before it's put down. The mayor took all this in. He knew there were horrible beasts and monsters out there. Everyone did. But to actually see the work of and know about one was something else entirely.
So, how do you put one down, if you don't mind me asking?
We have to bait it first. You got pigs around here, right?
You're not going to... Those pigs are the town folks' livelihood.
Maybe frowned at Tep and yanked the thimble away from him. He means wild pigs, out in the woods.
I wanted to freak him out.
Pig hearts are similar to human ones. Maybe continued speaking, ignoring the diminutive imp who had just fumbled his way into a sitting position. So we're going to bait it to a secluded location. Most natural beasts have a weakness to silver, so if it hasn't gotten too strong yet, Ida's sword should do the job.
And if it has gotten too strong, I mean?
There are other ways, which we are keeping in mind, but I don't want to say too much. She glanced over at the dusty window to the darkness outside. At her gaze, two or three sets of black wings fluttered away. Ravens talk. But don't worry your head about it, Mr. Mayor, sir. I'm doing all the reading I can, and Ida's out there putting everything together. It should be all over by daybreak. I promise. Ida took a deep breath. She was glad to be back in the forest, away from people. She didn't like people. They were too noisy, and they did unpredictable things that rarely made sense. People could be terrifying sometimes, too. She liked the wilderness much better. It, too, could be terrifying, but if you followed its rules, you would stay out of trouble just fine. The pig was heading off towards the river. She could tell by the short distance between its hoofed prints. It wasn't in any particular hurry, but she didn't want to scare it off. With an unnatural ease, Ida worked her way through the thick undergrowth, failing to step on a single twig. She proceeded thus for quite some time, the only sound the beating of her heart in her own ear. Finally, she heard the trickle of a stream, and then saw the water itself through the leaves. Sure enough, a stout, bristly boar was kneeling down to take a drink. It was too dark, it couldn't see her, even as close as she was, but she could certainly see it. This could be her only opportunity. She readied her sword, prepared to make the first step out of the trees. But then a bird landed on a twig next to her face. It was small and black, a crow, and it stared right at her for a second before cawing loudly enough to wake the whole forest. The boar looked up. It still couldn't really see her, but it saw the flapping of the crow's wings as it took to the sky once again and instinctively started moving.
Shit.
Ida glided forward, but the pig began to pick up speed.
Oh, no you don't.
Ida barreled out of the bushes, catching the boar around its middle and rolling it over on top of her. The animal's squeals pierced her eardrums, and its legs thrashed helplessly through the air, nearly crushing her with its weight. The sword was forced from her hand, but she managed to get a grip on the hunting knife at her belt, and with a grunt of effort, ran it across the boar's neck. Dark blood ran from the wound down onto her face as slowly the pig stopped moving. Ida rolled it off of her and kneeled for a second, putting her hands to the ground.
Thank you, Dana, the earth under my feet, and her daughter, the lady, for this blessing.
After taking a moment to catch her breath, Ida stood and hoisted the whole pig over her shoulders. With a sigh, she began walking off through the trees.
Bait obtained. Time to go meet Maybe. I hope she hasn't gotten herself lost again.
What took you so long?
Tep flew off of Maybe's shoulder as soon as he saw Ida approach the old water mill.
Stop to smell the damn flowers?
To Ida, the pig didn't weigh much, but she made a big show of hefting the animal off of her shoulders and dropping it to the ground with a hard thump.
Yes, right after I tracked, stabbed, and killed this dangerous wild animal, almost with my bare hands.
Just a pig.
Maybe stood from the stump she'd been sitting on.
All right, Tep, next time we'll send you out against the boar and see how you fare.
Ha ha, very funny.
Yeah, what's he going to do, cuss it to death?
You just watch. That pig will be so embarrassed, it'll die right there.
Not one to waste food, Ida grabbed her hunting knife and began to butcher the pig while maybe set about starting a fire. Tep helped by placing a few minuscule twigs on top of the pile, but the imp looked so proud of his work that the sisters didn't comment. Ida had the whole animal carved and separated into its various cuts in the blink of an eye. Her knife seemed to slide through the flesh almost like butter, in the same way Maybe had seen many times. Some of it Ida left over the fire to smoke, while the three dug into their dinner. The heart sat skewered by a stick and shoved into the ground a short distance away. The drawing blood glistened by the light of the campfire as Ida watched it, nearly mesmerized.
So your business, down in the swamps, how did it go?
It took a moment for Ida to draw her eyes away from the heart.
Fine, I suppose. Handled a situation with the hag while I was down there.
Meet anyone? See anything interesting?
Tep sighed impatiently, abandoning his small strip of fat to fly into Ida's face.
Maybe it's too polite to say, but we've both been wondering what the fuck you've been doing down there. You keep wandering off without any damn warning.
Tep...
And I've just been wondering. Maybe he's been worried. You keep me up with your pacing and I'm sick of it.
Ida blinked a few times.
You've been worried about me?
A little.
Glancing away as well, Ida's face darkened in thought.
I suppose it wouldn't hurt to tell you. I've been going down to the swamps to meet with the Lady of the Lake.
The Lady of the... Ida, isn't that dangerous? She's the daughter of the Earth itself!
Believe me, I've dealt with worse.
Ida looked off towards the forest.
There's a lot you haven't told me, isn't there?
Maybe leaned closer, putting a hand on Ida's knee. About the orphanage, and what happened afterwards?
And before.
Maybe scooted closer another inch. She moved her mouth to say something more, but before she could get anything out, Ida straightened and held up a finger. Maybe followed her gaze.
You hear that?
Rustling.
It's something big.
Then they both heard it, a strange gibbering from the trees, accompanied by a rhythmic clicking.
More, more, I need more. Feed, feed.
There was another pause, and then something huge and black leapt from the trees. It pounced on the pig's heart, spit dribbling from its sharp beak. In an instant, the heart was between the two halves of its enormous maw with a horrible, squelching noise. Ida nearly moved in for the kill, pale sword glinting in the weak moonlight, but right before she could take the first step, the creature spat the remains of the heart onto the ground and growled.
Not human. Need human. Need.
It was at that instant that it noticed the sister's presence. It glanced back and forth between them, one on each side.
Come to kill.
Its beady, black eyes fixed on Ida's blade.
Unfortunately, yes.
Sorry, mate. You've been killing folks. Them's the breaks.
The Valerivan simply laughed, half a caw and half a gargle.
Will not have grown too strong.
As if to demonstrate, it pounced to the right, seeing that Maybe was unarmed. But at the last second, she was gone, dodged to the side as if she had disappeared. Once again, the tattoos on her hands seemed to squirm, and from them emerged a long, thin blade, seemingly similar in composition to Ida's. She stabbed it into the thing's back, and the flesh around the wound smoked as it burned. The Valerivan turned back to her, and despite the beak, somehow managed to grin as it flexed so hard it broke the blade clean off. It splintered away, turning oddly black before floating back over to Maybe. By this time, Ida had closed the distance between herself and the creature, and had engaged it herself.
So, silver's not working!
Ida narrowly avoided a swipe from its talons.
Is there another plan?
Well, there's one.
And what's that?
Maybe danced on her feet nervously at the edge of the melee. Run! Managing to tear her eyes away from the beast for just a moment, sword clashing with claw, Ida scowled.
Maybe, don't you dare!
Maybe's eyes darted back and forth between her and the trees. I'm sorry, sis.
Don't you run away! Not again!
Ida blinked, but Maybe was already gone.
Shit.
Her silver sword wasn't working. The Valerivan had already become too strong, too human, and it really was strong, almost more so than she was. If she had to fight for much longer, there was no way she would survive.
Shit!
She gave one last push at the monster, but it was no use. The distant whispering in Ida's ears grew louder, more persistent, and behind it was laughter. Had she really thought that she could trust Maybe, after she'd left her to die once before? If she would have gotten a chance, she never would have made that mistake again. She could have lived with her fate if it had just ended right there. But unfortunately, right at that moment, a small boy with a dirty face scrambled out of the trees. He didn't even see the monster until he rammed right into it. The creature turned away from Ida, and upon seeing the young boy frozen in terror, its beady eyes grew wide.
Human, feed!
It grabbed the child by his shoulders to pick him up.
No!
Ida desperately stretched out a hand. But then, something unusual happened. The child began to melt, drip away into a black goo that flew purposefully towards the trees, until all that was left was a tiny red imp clutching something to his chest.
Eat Ravenheart, you fugly bastard!
Teft threw the small object into the Bellerophon's gaping maw. The creature paused, then screamed at a horrific caw as its flesh burned. A cloud of steam rose up around it, and Ida shielded her eyes. Well, I'm certainly glad that worked. Blinking through the steam, Ida shook her head.
Maybe? And Tep? Was that an illusion? How did you...
What, did you really think I was going to run away? I already did that once, I don't plan on doing it again.
Why didn't you tell me?
I hate to say it, but you're not the best actress, and the Valorven needed to be convinced.
I'm still mad you used me as the bait.
Tep crossed his arms from his place on Maybe's shoulder.
That thing's breath was like a leprechaun's armpit.
What was that?
Shaking her head, Maybe pulled her glove back on as she followed Ida's gaze down to her arm. With a caw and a disgruntled fluttering of wings, a small raven emerged from the steam and flew off into the night. After watching it for a moment, Maybe finally met Ida's gaze. Just another one of the gifts the orphanage gave me. Ida's chest tightened.
There's a lot you haven't told me too, isn't there?
There always is.
The mayor was nearly sobbing with gratitude. What might as well have been the whole village of Banborough was filling the square as the sisters made to head back to the city.
I don't know how I can ever thank you.
The money is more than enough.
And the knowledge that your village should be safe now, of course.
Nah, I'm just in it for the jack.
The sisters hoped no one else could hear Tep from his pouch at Maybe's waist.
I wish there was more we could do for you. Not even a carriage to send you back.
The horses are more than we could hope to ask for. Thank you for your kindness.
Will you girls be all right? It's a long way to Kilkara.
We'll be just fine, Mr. Mayor, sir. Maybe winked again, and with that, she cracked the reins of her mare and they were off, back over the worn, knotted road. After a few minutes, Maybe broke the silence. All right, lassie. She looked over to Ida. You were let off the hook last night, but now, I'd like some honesty, please.
If you'll give the same in return.
Of course.
All right, then. I guess it all started before I came to the orphanage.